The five fires, okay, you're all brave. So, okay, one slight thing before that was, okay, we'll see how that goes. I was going to say, so I call this talk the five fires. I didn't say much about what it was, you know, what am I going to talk about? And all of that points to say, and Josh is like, yeah, sure, talk about it. So all of that points to the fact that you guys are very brave. You don't know what I'm going to say. I didn't know what I was going to say when I signed up for this. But, you know, I think that's part of the charm of this group of Alt MBA alumni, that we take leaps, right? We go to the space of where we feel uncomfortable and we do it anyways. Like this week on Wednesday, I was thinking, should I tell Josh that, you know, find another speaker? And then I'm like, nah. And then last night I'm like, okay, I need to do this, right? So I, you know, if you in the course of this talk, if you notice that the pictures I have on the slides are stolen from images.google.com, or you know, or if you find that what I'm saying is, you know, I hope you'll excuse me, right? I mean, if you see that, oh, I'm looking around on the screen because I'm also looking at the notes I have on Evernote, then you'll excuse me for that. Somebody's sending a chat message. Let me see what that's about. Oops, not this one. Okay, that's me being a little bit.
We'll work on after the presentation. We'll touch the chat box. So
okay, so I should not look at it right now.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's
okay. Okay. All right. So I was going to say, this is that you guys are being very brave, but you can see my notes now, right? So I should not do that. Okay. All right. We'll see. Oops. That's not what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to do. Right. So we're talking about embracing tension. This is a theme that Seth talks about a lot, that, you know, going to a place where we're uncomfortable and doing it anyways. This is something that as all the MBA alumni, we celebrate. But if we look a little bit deeper, what is it that we are really celebrating? What is it that we are really, the quality behind that? So that's what I want to talk to you about, is the quality of forbearance, right? In Sanskrit, the word for forbearance is tapas, or, you know, tapas is, it's not the, well, in some language, I think tapas is the culinary aspect, but this is Sanskrit, so this is not the same as that, food style. Forbearance is really, I mean, this quality that if something is uncomfortable, if something is not pleasant to us, being still being willingly, you know, willingly go through it, right? And that's what I want to bring up, is to celebrate that quality of forbearance. But then we have to be a little more nuanced about it, because sometimes we go through things which are uncomfortable, but what they're telling you is, hey, you need to change something. But then there are some things where they're uncomfortable, but you go through them because as a result, you'll become stronger, right? So I'm going to speak to that. So what is tapas? What is forbearance? Is experiencing opposite values without complaining, without grumbling. So I'll give you an example. Okay. So for example, you have a kind of loved one that lives a little far away from you, and you have to take a long flight to go visit them. Okay. The flight is really uncomfortable. You're sitting there, you know, cramped in that small seat for hours together, and your legs are falling numb. But you still willingly go through it because you know that there is some benefit that is coming out on the other end. If you're embracing that opposite, you're embracing that discomfort. Right? Or another example is starting a business. Right? I mean, it is not an easy thing, but we willingly go through it because we know that the message that we are bringing out to the world is important. There is value behind it. So experiencing those contradictions of life, you know, both the yin and the yang, but not in the sense that, that I prefer one versus the other without the complaint in the mind. That is really what tapas is. Okay, I'm going to willingly go through it. So willingly is the key word. That's my example of the cramped seats on the plane. Okay? So the second part is that it's beneficial, right? The end result is beneficial. So other examples are going to the gym, right? Not everything we do in the gym is pleasant, right? Or fasting, right? We willingly say, okay, I'm going to not eat certain food, or I'm going to eat only certain kinds of food, because we know that it is a process of purification. It brings some good out of it. Right? So there are three, you know, like going back to my last talk about the three brothers, even the tapas, even this forbearance can be of three types. Right? The first is sattvic, where you know that the benefit is what you're doing, it's going to result in something that is for the greater good. It's good for everybody. The second could be some people, you know, they would do things like fasting. Like they will go for days and days and days of fasting, but they're doing it not really understanding why they're doing it, and they'll do it because they want to show off. That's the second kind. And the third kind is, it's just miserable and you enjoy the misery and you do it anyways. Right? So we want to stick to the first one, the sattvic one, right? Not the, we're going through these opposites willingly because it's for the greater good, because it's going to bring something beautiful out of it. Okay? With me so far? Yeah? Okay. All right. So I'll take a quick poll here. When you think of fire, right, what comes to mind? Right? What, a quality of fire? If you want to unmute yourself, or if some, maybe one person can unmute and tell me what's in the chat.
Sure. Heat.
Okay. Okay.
Change. Urgency.
Okay. Anything else? What does a fire do?
Burning away impurities.
Exactly. Right? It purification is associated with fire. So that's the aspect we're going to talk about. So I'm going to talk about, you know, when we talk about fire, there are five kinds of fire that come up in life. And each of them, the quality that I want you to think about is the purification that happens as you burn through, as the fire burns away, you know, impurities. The burning in the fire brings out the impurity. It takes away the impurities and brings about the purity of what is underneath. So the first kind of fire is the physical fire. It's called Bhutagni. That's the Sanskrit word for it. But it's the fire that gives you warmth. Right? Like Josh would know this more than others at this point. more than in Southern California. People in the East Coast would know about this fire. Again, the point I'm making about this is, see, this fire it brings comfort to us, okay? But especially in the Western world, we have gotten used to having, like, for example, having the air conditioner on all the time, okay? The point I'm making is, if it's not there, if this fire is not there for us, not comforting us, it should not throw us off. So if it's too hot and you cannot stay cool, the forbearance in us is the quality of forbearance is what tells us, hey, it's okay. I can go through this. I can live through this. Right? I'm not saying, okay, go and turn off your AC or suffer through it. But you know, I think it was in Calvin Hobbes where the dad would always say you should go camping because it builds character. So there's some truth to that. Right? Because when you willingly go through this thing, it was that which is difficult physically, when Bhutagni is, you know, is stirred up, that brings strength in us. So again, back to the thing, there's purity, and then also strength comes when we willingly go through these fires. That's the first one. The second one is the fire of desire, right? Kamagni. So the first thought that goes to it is okay, lust and sex. Okay, so if you talk about that, you know, that fire is present in all species in creation, because that's what that propagates species. But if you look at the word desire, it's also any desire that you have, right? Anything that you want to do. What happens with us is that many times we don't let this fire come up. We have a desire and instantly we want to fulfill it. Instantly we want to do something about it. Right? Amazon has figured this out, you know, to the detail, right? They have this one-click shopping. The moment you see it, you click one button and there it's there for you. But because we don't let this fire come up and burn us and purify us, we remain weak. So people who are either, you know, if you talk about lust, are always caught up in lust, or people who give in to their desires all the time, the strength in them doesn't come up, it doesn't develop. So there is value in letting that fire burn you a little bit so that you become strong. That's the second desire, the second fire. The third fire is the fire of hunger. So if you look at you know, the traditional medicine, system of medicine from India, Ayurveda, it talks about this fire of digestion quite a bit. In fact, they say that if this fire is strong in you, the Jatharagni is strong in you, you can eat pretty much anything and you'll be fine. But if it's weak, then that is where diseases come. That's where you start to suffer. And a lot of the diseases can be linked to the fire of digestion being weak. And how to make the fire of digestion strong? Fasting. If your mind is going through, like if you're, you know, if you're confused, if there's confusion in the mind, or you're irritated, just fasting for a day, you'll see the mind changes so significantly. Like it'll shift. And what is happening is that the fire of digestion, this Jatharagni, is burning you, and it's purifying the mind, because those two are linked together. Also, the other thing I want to say about this, like how I was saying about the fire of desire, that we don't let it come up. We see this with this fire of digestion also. Like, people will eat before hunger is even present, right? And that leads to obesity and so many diseases, because we are not letting that fire come up. Or the other thing that happens is, this I've seen quite a bit happen here, is people drink cold water right before their meal. And that's like a, you know, it's like putting this fire, it's like cooling down this fire. And that leads to indigestion, that leads to so many impurities in the body that happens. So that's one thought for you to consider. The other thing that happens is, let's say if a fever is coming up, okay, if some a fever coming up is, the fever is telling you that you need to rest. But what do we do? Many times we just pop a pill and we keep going. And that is, again, not allowing this fire in the body to purify. Otherwise, like, if the fever is coming up, it's really that fire is getting ignited, because there is some impurity that has come from outside, and this fire wants to burn it away and to leave you purified and strong. But we end up popping a pill, which then just, all it does is just suppress the symptoms. So I'm not saying don't take care of, you know, don't take a pill when you need to, but I'm saying look into that aspect, right? That, oh, there is value in letting this fire burn you a little bit. Yeah. Okay. That's the third one. The fourth one, this is, I think, really the crux of a lot of Seth's work, a lot of the things that we do in terms of this fire of criticism, this thought that what will people think about me? So there is value to this fire, in the sense, like, value to having this thought, what will people think about me, because it preserves morals, right? But then many times what happens is it goes in the other extreme. We make a very big deal about what will people think about me. And as a result, we kill the life in ourselves. Like, we we sell ourselves short. So whenever we feel that, or when you feel that hesitation before you speak to a crowd, or like what I was feeling this week, or should I even give this talk or not, is this fire of criticism. Like behind that is this thing that, oh, will I be judged? Will people accept me? Now, willingly allowing that fire to be there and still doing what you want to do because you know it is for greater good is really letting this fire of criticism burn you and purify you. Yeah. This is, I mean, yeah. Okay. I won't say much more about this. Okay. Then the last fire, the fifth one, this is the one where I should really not say much. Okay. This is the fire of wisdom or fire of love. Wisdom as distinct from gaining information. This is really the fire, which is the restlessness of our soul. You know, the thing that which keeps driving you, that, oh, which tells you there has to be something more to life than just what I have around me right now. You know, my likes and my dislikes, the things that I want to do, things that I want to achieve. There has to be something more than just those normal mundane things in life. Right? That is that fire of love, that fire of wisdom. And when this fire engulfs you, when this fire takes over you, consider yourself very lucky. Like it's a gift. You can't really do anything to bring this fire up. It's a gift from nature. And in history, if you look at history, people who have been consumed by this fire, they are talked about for years to come. Like we still, you know, many of us, I don't know if any of you have love Rumi's poetry. Right? Rumi's poetry is really filled with it, like that fire of love emanates from it. You can't miss it. It is so obvious. Or if you look at the life of Buddha, that fire of, you know, wisdom was burning him up. That's why he left his home in search of to find himself. Right? So again, the less you say about it, the better it is. This is the fire you really have to experience, and it's a gift. It's a gift. And when you willingly burn through these fires, you come out shining like gold. So that's my message, is that, okay, if in your life any of these fires is burning you, willingly go through it, willingly embrace it, and you'll see it'll leave you purified, it'll leave you a very charming person, that you become charming when you burn through these fires. And you truly can be of service to others. That's all I have to say. I'm open for questions.